Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. It's me again. In my garage, and it's Jackie Cation, and we're Rangers of the Dork Forest, and this is the Dork Forest, and this is the third episode I'm doing today, so I have to say all those words out loud. But we have a return guest who is a delight. You remember her from last time when it was community colleges, and we got so much good feedback. She's back to nerd out now about libraries. Anna Villanzuela, welcome back to the program.
Oh my gosh, so happy to be here, Miss Jackie Cation. Hello.
Hello,
Dork Rangers. I adore you. And yes, we touched on this on the last episode. We talked a little bit about libraries, and you said we got to come back and talk about libraries.
And then we'll have you on a third time to talk about the martial art that you do. You have an art that is martial.
Yes.
And I don't know if trumpets play behind you, but a martial air with a snare drum.
I would love that. I think they might have some sort of drum playing in Japan. We don't know. There
Hence
is hat
the
dancing.
Oh, there's hats? Oh,
there's well, hats.
Who doesn't want that?
That's all right.
Course correct my headphones.
I love that.
Here we are talking this time about libraries with Anna Villanzuela, by the way. May have spelled her name wrong on the community college episode.
It's okay.
We can go back in time. But Anna is spelled A-N-N-A. Mm-hmm. Villanzuela is V-A-L-E-N-Z-U-E-L-A.
Yes.
And AnnaVillanzuela.com. And Anna V is funny on all the socials, right?
Yes.
On the TikTok and the Instagram and the whatnot.
Yes. And the album. Oh, go ahead.
You got the a album- new album. First album ever, right?
First album. I did it. I finally did it.
Thank God.
Thank God.
And the art is incredible. And I can't wait to see the video. That will come out separately later.
Yes.
But right now, available everywhere. Murder Puss is what it's called.
Yes.
And feel free to buy it. I know you'll stream it eventually, but you should throw $10 at the world and buy it for reals. And then she'll get a better kickback on that.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. All good. So, Anna Villanzuela, tell me. I love a library. I fucking love a library. I love a library.
Do you have a favorite?
I haven't been to the library in decades.
Oh, so you're
missing out. I was raised at a library. Essentially, I raised myself in the library system of South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But I will say this, is that I've heard that they're incredible now. I follow the Milwaukee Public Library on Instagram.
They are an incredible system, especially here in Los Angeles. And I apologize, this is going to be very LA-centric. So get up on the, when this posts, get up on the Facebook pages, get on the threads, get on all the things and share your favorite local libraries.
Right. Look into, see if they have all the stuff and all the cool. Yeah. Let's all get to the, I can't believe I don't have a library card. It's, I mean, I do, but I don't, I haven't been at since I moved here. I just got a card, didn't go.
I have one for the Los Angeles Public Library.
Okay.
That's the county. Then I have LA City. Okay. I have Burbank.
Okay.
And I have Glendale. So I have four different cards. And I mostly use them at work because we take, during my day job, I hang out with disabled folks. And they have all kinds of cool services. But when I was there, what I discovered, because I was like, yeah, let's just sign up for library cards. Let's do it. Number one, they actually, the cards themselves, if you like to collect little things. Mm-hmm. So I have one that's a limited edition Shepherd Fairey exhibit card. So Shepherd Fairey, he did the like Obey street art.
Oh,
he did an exhibit at the Glendale Public Library, as he is a big fan. And they have an art gallery there. And so you could get a card that was designed by Shepherd Fairey. And then the Burbank Public Library, I have a baby Yoda holding a book, a little Gargu holding a book, and it says read. And it's very cute. It's
very
extremely cute. And you get the wallet kind, and you get the kind for your keychain. Yeah, like a bronze card. Yeah, like a grocery card.
Can you also put it in your wallet on your phone? Like, is there a digital copy?
Absolutely. And you're going to need that digital copy because it's going to unlock a ton of digital download services. So, for example, how much money have you spent on downloading books and audiobooks in the last couple few years, do you think?
Well, I have this to say. I share an account with my brother, Philip.
Okay.
Thanks, he spends all the money. Occasionally use a free credit, so I haven't spent any. But BookBooks, I probably spend $400-$600 a year.
What if I told you you could
what
get those
told me?
On your iPad for free?
Most in the Kindle app or no?
You can either do it on the Hoopla app, or you could download the Kindle edition and put it in your Kindle app.
Okay.
So if you prefer the Kindle, which I do, because sometimes the Hoopla is a little weird, but they have a lot of different. So basically, a library card in LA, it unlocks a billion different things. It unlocks a free streaming service.
For movies and TV shows.
Yeah, it's called Canopy. It unlocks several like book and audiobook services.
Right.
Comic book services, manga, children's books, all kinds of stuff. I very rarely take out physical books. I mostly use it for the digital downloads when I'm using it. And
so when you download when you access a movie, do you have to have an app on your TV to throw it to it? Or do you just have to watch it your iPad or phone?
They have a Canopy app for all of your streaming devices. So I have one on the Apple TV, and which was clutch when I was going to community college and taking film classes, because then they had a lot of the movies that are like Criterion Collection, stuff that's a little, that's like not on Netflix and Hulu and that kind of stuff.
Right. Older
they would have it for free on Canopy. So, so that's a really cool service. And I think you get like 10 downloads a month, but that download could be like a whole series.
Right.
So it's, so you can.
Well, my friend Stefan goes to the South Milwaukee Public Library and gets VHS and DVDs.
Yeah.
Because you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And DVD copies, you know, one of the things I have a friend, his name is Ian Shade, and he's a great little film critic and writer. And he talks a lot about, how he prefers a physical copy. Like, he demanded some sort of physical swag for my album because in his mind, digital copies go away. So you can trade in for your digital copies, but they will go away at some point. So you need to have a digital copy if you're a true archivist of like film, television, music. Right.
That's why I buy DVDs, is because I want a physical copy when they pull it off of Netflix, when they pull it off of,
yeah,
you know. And here's the other thing. I own several DVDs that I have thus bought the digital copies of on Amazon,
yeah,
so that I don't have to wrestle out my DVD and put it in my DVD player.
Right.
But if I needed to, I could. If it was not available, it would be available. If I want to watch Midnight Run, I want to watch Midnight Run, whether Amazon has it for $2.99 or doesn't.
And if you went to your local library, they might actually have Midnight Run. So they might be doing all the archiving for us.
Right, right, right.
The physical copies. So it is.
The library system is such a gift, right? And truly. They're in jeopardy all over the country. I know that the South Milwaukee Library was talking about closing. And I think that there was a great outcry. And they were like, well, we will then move some of the money to pay for that. And because it's just, it gets shunted aside in the budgeting.
Right.
Until they say, well, we're going to close it. And then everyone remembers how much they freaking love libraries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a place. It is, especially, and I'm sure in Milwaukee, it has, when it's both hot and cold, it's a warm place to be.
Right.
Here in California, it's a cool place to be because we have heat advisories. It's a place where you can get a lot of services. So the Glendale Public Library has, and this blew my mind. So we found out my grandma was having some dementia symptoms. And I mentioned it at the library. I just mentioned it to a friend. A library worker walks over and says, we have a social worker who will help connect you to programs for people with memory loss. And we have kits that you can rent to take to that person to help them improve their memory and cognition.
What?
That's all available at the local library. And it's in concert with the USC system. So you're getting that like USC care alongside,
right.
And they directed me toward like all these different services that you can take people to. Like,
so you can take people out. Like you can,
yes.
Like there's humans that will
services.
Come to you.
Yeah.
Yes. And talk you through. I wonder if there's like a way to like help you with your college entrance exams. And
they have that too. They have tax advisors. They have people to help you with grants. Like one of the things I'm going to do. So Murder Puss eventually is going to be like a docu special.
You shot a bunch of stuff.
Because shot a bunch of weird stuff that happened.
Yeah.
And you know, due to some editing issues, funds have run a little dry, right?
Sure.
So I'm going to apply for grants and loans. And those grants you can apply for at the public library. They have art grants. They have all kinds of stuff. You can, they have tax services. I said that they have social workers said that there's all kinds of like tutoring help. They have a lot of stuff for teens and specifically on the east side of LA, it's a little far from the LGBTQ center. And so the east side library, so like Pasadena branches. Oh, I also have a Pasadena card. The Pasadena branches have, and the Glendale branches also serve as sort of like de facto teen centers for LGBTQ youth. And they have all these, like, they have authors come in and do talks. They have comic books. They have, you can learn how to play D&D at the library if you're a teenager. They've got all sorts of like Magic the Gathering.
They come in. And they also have do they still have this? I remember when they first started doing like sort of little kid story time day.
Yes. I think one of my favorite, Glendale Central is one of my favorite. Obviously, if you're ever visiting LA, LA Central Library in downtown is an actual tourist destination because they shot Ghostbusters there and they have the books set up in the stacks. So you can go and take a picture with it. It's really cute. So they have
They have a coffee shop in downtown Milwaukee's public library? They have a coffee shop.
I don't think so, but I think there's one nearby. That'd be nice. Just
a coffee shop at the library.
Oh.
And because my sister takes kids there and they're like, can we go to the coffee shop? And so they go to the coffee shop and the other thing about the Milwaukee County is that if you have a library card in Milwaukee County, you can access all of the different libraries in Milwaukee County.
Love it.
So they will, they, like in South Milwaukee, we're in Milwaukee County, but if they don't have a copy of the book you want, this was when I was a kid. So they would say, well, Wauwatosa has that book, and they will drive it over or they'll mail it to us and we'll get it and you'll have it in 4 days.
I think they're still doing that. I know they do that in LA County. And they also have, to mention the story time, the Buena Vista Library of Burbank is one of my favorites. It's a very enchanting library. You walk in.
It's on
and
Buena Vista?
It's on Buena Vista.
Okay.
You've probably driven past it a million times and just never thought of it.
Does
right?
it have a statue of Amelia Earhart in front of it?
I believe so. There's like a little park nearby, like a pocket park nearby.
Yeah.
Right. So you drive in and they have story time. They have, they use their big, their story time got so big that they had to put it in like their big, like speaker hall off to the side.
Oh my gosh.
So if you go during the week, it's just the most adorable experience you've ever seen. Cause it's just a million kids.
Just and kids their and parents. Their moms and their parents or the dad.
Kids and their parents just living their truth. And then the kids section has this big indoor fake tree situation. So it looks like you're going into like a secret garden to read books. Ooh. And they have free coloring stuff there. They have like little printouts of stuff you can color. So it's a good place for kids to like chill, do their homework. They have a play area. Like parents can basically go do a thing.
And right. It's sort of like, and when it's super hot, if you can go there, it's just a place that's indoors that has, cause I mean, I remember when I lived in Minneapolis, I had friends who had little kids that were poor, that were, you know, just not poor, but kind of broke. And so we'd all go to the mall. And just kind of walk around the mall. And there was always like a little playpen, but I'm sure just a petri dish of just other kids, you know.
It's pretty gross.
Losing
the
their,
mall.
Yeah.
It's the mall playpen is always a little icky.
And same with McDonald's and, you know, it's, but probably the library, I don't know how often they clean it there either, but it's a nice alternative. Like those three. Right. Then you don't have to take your kid to the mall. You don't have to take your kid to McDonald's. You can take your kid to the library.
Right.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Right. At the Glendale Central Library, which is, I think, my favorite.
Okay. Because you just said that Burbank was your favorite.
I have a million favorites. I have five favorites.
They're all great. Yeah.
Because they're all great. This one is a different kind of favorite. So Glendale Central has a, they have a, what she calls it, a maker space where I don't know how to sew. But I got it in my head. I'm going to learn how to sew. So I walk in with a pair of pants. I want a hem. And a woman basically was like, I usually teach this class here, but I'm watching you struggle and I don't want you to break my machines. They also have all these retired machines, which we talked about before. They have all these retired Project Runway sewing machines and they're branded Project Runway, which is very cute.
That is cool.
They basically taught me how to like hem my pants. They have classes on how to like macrame,
change the needle, and work with the bobbin and
the whole nine,
the whole sewing. I took home ec back in the 1200s, and it was a whole thing about the. I mean, previously I had just threaded the needle, handed it to my grandmother, and then she put it into her 1928 Singer, and then all of a sudden I had a patch on my knee that I didn't want to wear because it was a patched pair of pants, and she did,
Right. So you can do that at the library now. They have clothing swaps at this library. So like instead of going out and buying new clothes, because clothing waste is like one of the it's the second biggest polluter in the world.
It's next to food waste, I bet.
Yeah. So they have like these big clothing swaps where people can come and like take, you can bring all the stuff that you would have taken to the Goodwill or something. You can look around, you can take stuff, but ultimately like kids and adults can walk away with entire wardrobes for absolutely free.
Yeah.
All at the library. And they do that about every 6 months. They do one
of
those.
Do you need your library card for that?
I don't think so. I think you
like
could
some
just
of this
show
stuff
up.
You just, I mean, sometimes I know that when I'm on the road and I need to print something, if I can't find a Kinko's, sometimes the library is right there and it's, like
10 cents.
It's either free or like a dime.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And I know you told me this, and then I saw that Aldrin Aldrin was on the show, talked, I think, Pokemon.
Yes.
And he was talking about how they have 3D printers.
Yes. They have 3D printers at pretty much all the libraries. Yeah. With all this stuff and classes on how to use them and somebody there who can show you how to use them, like at all times.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's so
like
cool.
You can, right. Cause then I wonder, and is that one at the Glendale one or is that one at several?
That's at the Glendale one. I think they also have one at Buena Vista. I know they have one at, now it's not my favorite, but mm-hmm. they do have a podcasting space and a 3D printer room at Burbank Central, which is near the Burbank Town Center. It's like right over there. So they actually have, in a lot of these places, digital media spaces where you can shoot like,
Record stuff.
And they have like a regular, it's got like a Zoom setup and a computer, like it has all the stuff. So you can just record what you need to. I'm serious. They have absolutely everything.
You guys, the fact that we're all buying this stuff at all is our mistakes because our tax dollars are paying for libraries and the people that are using them are the smartest. This is so good.
LA County and LA Public has power tools.
What?
So if you need like a jigsaw,
you have metric and you need inches, they have the other kind.
They have like rotary saws. They have all the construction things. You can just rent it instead of going to Home Depot, buying it, saving the receipt, and taking it back.
A lot of people do. They also, you know, that not a Roto-Rooter. I wonder if they have like plumbing equipment.
I bet they do. Like a snake,
right? You can't know till you go. You can't know till you go, you guys. You get an echo?
Yeah, one second. I've got my headphones popped out. One sec.
Oh, there you go. This is amazing. Here's something Andy does not enjoy. Well, actually, no, that wasn't the thing because they're not going to have, he wants a new toilet. That's a story for a different time. I was going to say, what's it called when you dig up your garden? The
rototiller.
A tiller. That's it, a rototiller. I wonder if they have a rototiller.
I bet they do.
They might. No way to know but to go and to check in with your local public library. That's hilarious and awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So did you go to the library when you were a kid all the time?
No, actually, there was
That's interesting.
Real big, because where I grew up was so rural. I think we didn't even have a library. And I wasn't a really big reader as a kid. I was more of a sit in front of the TV and leave my parents the hell alone kid. Then I kept getting grounded. This is very funny. I kept getting grounded because I was bad. And so I ended up reading books at school, like getting books from the library at school, like trashy vampire novels and stuff.
Sure.
And just having something to read. And comic books got me into it. And so,
You like the art?
Yeah. I fell in love with the X-Men out the gate because I felt like a square peg in a round hole.
Outcast literature. Exactly.
And so I kind of fell into that. Like a comic book store opened in our town. And so I was able to kind of go in and peruse and talk to the guy and, you know, and learn about stuff. So that was kind of my introduction to reading in general. And then, and then probably like as I grew older, I just started, especially when I got clean too. When I got clean and sober, my brain would never shut up. So my sponsor told me, just read a book. And I was going broke on
buying books, I suppose.
Exactly. I was going broke because I was just chewing through them too quickly. And so knowing that I can go to the library, they have all these different resources. Now I actually save a ton of money on media. And I lost a book. I was in the Milwaukee airport where they had that used bookstore and I got trashy romance novels, just pure garbage.
Yeah.
And I lost it in Sacramento with two chapters left. And I was like, I am not going to buy this book at full price. There is no
goddamn way.
Right, because
you're not going to keep it.
No.
Right. It's a lot of romance novels, you don't keep them.
No, you shouldn't. You
know, everybody has like a stack of their favorites. If you read romance novels, you probably have anywhere between 20 to 100 that you're like, no, I'll reread that. It has a good sex scene. That one was kind of funny. These people were sweet. You know, so that you like, if you talk to old ladies throughout the decades, and when they die, you find my closet has a boat ton of romance novels. Four or five of them are from the 90s or the 80s.
Nice. They have like steamy answering machine messages in them.
Absolutely. Yes. It's all the old tech is definitely represented.
Yes.
Absolutely not. Okay. What they do have, because what you should know is that they weren't as sexy in the beginning. Like the ones that were sexy were usually rape fantasies, very sad. And then they sort of fixed that. And now there's a lot more sex in romance novels now, but it's all consensual, which is kind of hilarious. And it's as big a workaround as the rape for me. I'm just like, how am I going to get turned on by this? Not turned on by rape.
Yeah.
Just kind of a little bored by the, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? And, you know, and then you just kind of, that's actually very funny. I might have to write that down. So,
the part where they sign forms in triplicate.
It's just like consent, just get there. You're so close. And actually they have used it. A couple of the books have used the consent thing as sort of a foreplay kind of thing too.
Yeah.
As well,
which is kind of fun. Consent can be a very sexy game if you have an imagination. The problem is many people are without an imagination.
Did you end up getting that book again though? Did you find it?
I did. I found it as a digital download. It was the audiobook version. It was the only
weird.
It was on, I had to wait to rent it on the regular, and I was like, I will not. So I got the audiobook version, and I found out the
audiobook of a romance novel with sex scenes has always seemed awkward to me.
It was awkward. It was especially, it was very awkward. And I literally would just be driving home and I was like, you've got to know how this ends so you can leave this story forever.
In the car.
And then yeah, just hoping not to get pulled over, you know, or get pulled over, you know, just blast it, you know.
Oh my God,
everyone needs
so
to know that the LA Public Library has provided me with an audiobook version of a romance novel about an alien hunter.
Oh,
who bones an alien?
That is sexy times right there. Alien hunter. Here's the thing. So here's how libraries, I of course will hijack this quite briefly to tell you that this is how libraries worked in my life. When I was about 8 years old, I discovered the library. My stepmother would take us to the library. And so I started, and then I always loved the library in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would always, that's where I would hide when I would get in trouble at school. So I would either go hide underneath the secretary in the principal's office, because I knew I was going to be sent to the principal's office, or I would just go to the library. So I read a lot of the books, and then I found the South Milwaukee Public Library, where I would go and I would go and I would go and I just freaking lived there. And then they had a rule where if you had over $10 in fines, you couldn't take out any more books until you paid the $10 in fines. And so one Christmas, one of the women from our church paid my fine that I could, I think it was Mary Hyderian. And shout out to Mary. She's gone on to another world, a beautiful world. She's worked at the library. And so when my library card was not working, I did a couple of things. I would take books out of the library. It was before there was any kind of metal detector or scanning or anything. I would just take them.
Stealing books.
Yes, but I would bring them back.
Right.
I would just borrow them, sadly.
Yeah.
But without paperwork. The other thing is I started shoplifting books, which don't do this, kids. But this is what turned me on to, in eighth grade, I started reading more crap because I had to steal books from, I didn't have to, but I was essentially stealing books from Kmart. Mm-hmm. And
I was stealing from the Borders. I would say, Borders, yeah.
There's at least some quality novels there.
True.
Kmart, I read so many mercenary books. It was about mercs in Africa. They were action. I read
Blinker the Mind's
Eye. I read a lot of Harlequin romances.
Right.
And I had been sort of turned on to romance novels by this this girl, Katie, who, because I used to read so much that the kids would make fun of me. And they'd be like, how many books do you read in a day? And I'm like, well, I can't really tell you because I'm mostly rereading these 30. And because I read these amazing, at the time they were amazing. I've tried to reread them. Turns out they are a little dry. They were boys' adventure books from the early 1900s that were in our public library.
So like Hardy Boys?
Early 1900s. Oh. So it was about the French and Indian War. It was about the Civil War. It was about World War One.
Okay.
And it was about the pioneers. And there was always a couple of brothers. There was a young teenage boy. It was always coming of age. They would meet like noble Native Americans that they were, you know, and I read all of Louis L'Amour's novels. So
you were reading like a guy in prison. That is, if you were reading all of Louis L'Amour's novels, you were reading like a man who's done a nickel. All right.
And everybody's grandpa.
Yeah. Your pinochle game is on point. You're good at spades. You know how to make prison spread.
I want to know how the car's running.
Yeah.
So, but here's what, so I genuinely in the South Waukee Public Library ran out of crap that I wanted to read.
Oh,
in the spinny racks, out of romance novels, out of I had not yet discovered mysteries. I had read all of the Hardy Boy books, but I hadn't discovered like sort of Sherlock Holmes and knockoffs of that variety.
Right.
And so I started taking three buses to downtown Milwaukee, to the downtown Milwaukee Public Library.
Okay.
Where they had all of the romance novels and just so much, and a little more smutty or a little dirtier. And like Valley of the Dolls. I think I read Valley of the Dolls. My stepmother read like the things that got turned in the 70s, there were a lot of these several night series. The first big one was Roots.
Yeah.
And so Nancy, my stepmother, read Roots. And then she was like, what else we got here? Shogun? I'm going to read Shogun. Then she read the John Jake series. Okay. Then she read. So she would read these like epic generational historical fiction with a lot of soap opera beeswax in them.
What was the cowboy version of that? So it was always like, Lonesome Dove. Every summer it would be like Roots, Lonesome Dove. It would be, they would just like play these epics like, and here's the history of America. And it's like some of it's awful and some of it's true and we'll figure it out.
Some of it isn't true at all.
Some of it isn't. Yeah, exactly.
But, right. I mean, there was, and so the boys' books I read by Altshuler, which is the name of, I found them. Whoa. They were 1950s reprints. They weren't originals, but they were like $15 a piece. And I thought I was getting a deal. And then I tried to read them and I was like, oh, they're a little dry.
Oh no.
And but I do, you know, but there's a bit of a whitewashing of the Civil War, like the Civil War ones.
Yeah.
There's 8 books, right?
Okay.
4 of them are they're two cousins from Kentucky.
Sure.
Or Tennessee. I forget. One fights for the North, one fights for the South. And so 4 books are about the North, the Union guy, and 4 books are about the Southern guy, a Confederate guy. And I remember they were unapologetic about that the Union had to stay together. They were slightly apologetic about states' rights and other things that are not what the Civil War was about.
Exactly.
Let us say that the only black characters that were in these books were incredibly understanding. Anyway.
Sure. I mean,
fuck you, Joseph Altshuler. In retrospect.
Right.
No. But I will say, in my junior high, in like, when we were had to start reading real books, like when we got books that were assigned to us, they were decent books with real, you know, that's the thing about when you're 13, they assign you books that are just sad.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm already sad. I'm 13. Things are hard inside this package. Why would you give me a separate piece?
You know what they gave us? We read The Hobbit.
Oh, a delight.
Yeah, a delight. And there was, I did get a little bit in trouble because one day I was like, not now, right? In class. And the teacher was like, don't you, especially because like The Hobbit, it's so, that's extremely my shit. Like, I love it. I had already read it. But I just told her, I said, there's a lot of talking about food in this part of the book. There's just a lot of, we need to get to the action. Oh,
the first 80 pages are just him with the party and the birthday party and stuff.
Yeah.
I always tell people the first, because I didn't read The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings until college.
Ooh.
My first summer after I started college, I went and lived with my brother Phil, whose Audible account I share, who has done several dork forests, including Lord of the Rings. But he turned me on to Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. And also, then my sister-in-law turned me on to Dragon Riders of Pern. Ooh. Have you ever read Dragon Riders of Pern?
No, but I think I have stared at it. I need to write that down. Dragon Riders of
McCaffrey. Pern. Riders of Pern. I read it. I've read it dozens of times. I've listened to the audio. It is not as well written. When you listen to it in audio, you're like, oh, that sentence doesn't actually work. But the stories are awesome. And they're just, you know, I just gave the first book to Lori Kilmartin's son, whose name will not be said because she doesn't like it out there, I guess.
Yeah.
But he's going to be 18. He's going to get his own social media and then we'll all know.
Yeah. And he's a nerd.
The one.
Yeah.
He never read when I met him when he was about 11, I think. I met him when he was 10 or 11. And much like you with comic books, I was like, I bet you he would like manga.
Yeah.
And because he's an art boy, he draws.
Yes.
So I gave him manga, which it was like a puppy he munched it.
So it Auntie like, Jackie started it? You turned a boy into a weeb? Into a reader, I love, because that's the thing is I can't, manga, you can get a lot of manga for free online, but you have to understand that you are stealing from these poor artists.
Because it's all BitTorrent-y?
Right. However, you will also look at a lot of jiggly butts that you don't want to look at. There's a lot of porn pop-ups. Your computer might get syphilis. You have to really, whereas the library system has a lot of the manga already available and you could just get it on your iPad. It's on your iPad or your computer, butt free.
Yep.
No computer syphilis, just regular there. And you know you've got a good one because then you start have to wait to actually read some of them, which is rude.
Right. Right. Because people are like, oh, yeah, this is a good one. I know that my sister-in-law gets all of her books from the library. She has been consuming British mystery novels at a pace that is kind of blinding.
Yeah.
I'm okay with some of this stuff, but I'm behind in, I was just on the road and I read essentially a woman who writes romance novels. For the last 30 years, she's written romance novels.
Okay.
Her name is Carla Kelly. Okay. And I don't know if you've read much. When I read her when it was Harlequin, I was like, I think she's Mormon because the writing is beautiful, but there's a sort of a weird piece that comes into it, but also a weird superimposed. And it just has a lot of weird texture.
It's got the Orson Scott Card effect where you're like, man, this is a fun story, but you're making this weird. And also, right. Why don't you acknowledge that there's gay people? This is the future.
Right. Orson Scott Card, of course, has gone off the deep end in a way that makes you never want to read Ender's Game again.
I know.
It's so sad. It's a J.K. Rowling thing.
Yep.
But there is a guy named Brandon Sanderson, who is essentially the current Orson Scott Card. The guy he finished the Wheels of Time books.
Okay.
He wrote something called Elantris, which was a one-off in a world that I believe he's written about again.
Okay.
Very prolific, but it has that same... But Carla Kelly writes romance novels.
Okay.
And so there are sex scenes, and they're, you know, Mormons have sex as much or more than any other...
Yeah, they do.
...pile of group, group of people. And so I was like, I wonder if... I was just rereading one of her books, and I'm like... Why do I never see her anymore? What's she doing? Well, she's writing historical romance novels, but leaning more towards history. Ooh. And she, I think, must have a PhD in Napoleonic War history because she loves a Regency romance. She loves the Napoleonic War.
Okay.
And I don't think she's watching Bridgerton, but I read those books and they were super fun. But I just finished reading this. Essentially, it's a YA, young adult trilogy about the Navy and Trafalgar.
Okay.
And then also the history of sort of workhouse children, like what they did with orphans in England in the 1700s and 1800s, which was they would drop them off at a place called the workhouse. And if you didn't have a name, they would just give you a name. And if you had a first name, they would give you a weird last name. Like the main character's name is Durable Six because it was a February night and he lived. And he was the sixth baby they found that month.
I'm probably going to want to read this because that sounds unhinged because I just thought they turned them into meat pies. That's what I thought. I just thought they threw them in a big grinder and then they turned them into.
They almost did. A lot of them died.
Whoa.
A lot of them just because of the neglect.
Yeah.
And then they worked them from a very young age. So this is historical fiction. So this is about a school that was created so that you could turn workhouse boys into sailors for the Royal Navy.
Okay.
And so there's like, you know, Durable Six and Davy 10. And then, you know, there was a kid whose his only name was Smitty. And he was like, I think my name was Smith was written on his thing. So they never gave him a second name.
They just gave him Smitty. Cher. Smitty. That sounds like an open mic list. You know what I mean? That sounds like...
Oh, you just sign up using your nickname?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little bit of that. So, but I mean, the thing is books and libraries just, I mean, they literally just saved my life.
Yeah.
And so they're, I love that they've gone into this digital age and, and tools and people.
Yeah. You can... So one of my things that I do at my day job where I'm like hanging out with disabled folk is I have a bunch of guys that are Armenian speaking, like 80% Armenian speaking.
And they're in Los Angeles.
Exactly. Yeah. So they have a free version of Duolingo called Mango, and it has more languages than Duolingo has. Duolingo does not have Armenian to English.
Okay.
So I went on to Mango, and about once a week, we sit down and we do, it's English lessons, but they think they're teaching me Armenian. So it's very funny. So we're sitting there, we're going back and forth, and it's just like, we're going through greetings, right? So it's like the morning, like balus, and they're like, and I go, good morning. And they go, balus. And I go, good morning. And they go, balus. And we just do that for like 5 minutes. And then they go, oh, they realize they have to say good morning back to me. Then I move to the next slide.
And then you'll say balus.
And then I go, balus. And then we go forward.
Right.
And so.
I mean, it's kind of cool though, is that you can both learn.
Yes. Yeah. And that's entirely free. And it's something that like, as those guys work with other people, I can say, hey, like, this is the link. This is what they're on. They're on chapter
six.
Yeah. And like they're, you know, and they're working toward this. And like, so it is really cool because there's, again, there's so many different services and they are adding, they add different library resources. They also have bilingual digital library too. So you can download like your books in different languages and your native language and stuff as well.
Okay. So they have the, so it's, and they might have like several, because of how diverse LA is, there's not just going to be Armenian and Spanish. There might be Korean.
There might be Korean for sure.
Yeah. And Mandarin or Cantonese or whatever. It's Cantonese.
And free digital music. They have digital music as well. So let's say you don't want to pay Spotify.
Wait, could people listen to Ana Valenzuela's new album?
I think you can.
Murder Puss?
I think you can. I'm going to double check. I'm going to double check for this episode. I think you can because that was actually really important to me when I talked to our label head. I was like, I want to make sure that we're on their version of I think it's like Hoopla.
This does not release you, Rangers, of thinking about if you have 10 bucks buying the album because that would be great.
Do it all. Do it all. Yeah. You know, stream
it. But that's awesome that you can... That if it's possible, that's now I kind of want to check and see if my albums are available at the library.
You know whose are? Lori
Kilmartin.
Lori Kilmartin is on there.
Oh, she's full of rage. she's the one who makes me want to tell everybody to spend $10 on the album. She's not wrong.
Yeah.
It's just the 30th time she says it, you just want to go, no, we get it. And I'm only saying it once an episode for the most part, but, yes, I'm sure Lori Kilmartin's Cis Woke Grief Slut is available.
I think
at
it is.
Public library.
If I want you to listen to my album, you know, I want you to listen to my album. I want you to tweet at me. I want you to engage with me. You know what? If you can't, here's the deal. If you can't listen to the album, just let some of those let Sirius know that you'd like to see it there, even if you don't have a subscription. You know what I mean? Right. There's ways that you can compensate. You can say like, hey, Netflix, why does Jackie, you know, or Anna or Lori or whoever, you can get on the internet and yell for your favorite comics, you know, in different ways. And I think that because there's so many people yelling at us in the opposite way. Right now. So it is nice.
Which is, they call it advertising, but how about, I don't necessarily want to watch that. I would love to see that. That is not there. But I will say, I too wish to, you know, I want people to hear it and I want people to watch all the stuff, which is on YouTube and it's for free everywhere that you are streaming. But it's also like, when you get it from BitTorrent and stuff like that, it does feel a little dodgy.
Yeah, so you're good hurting news everyone.
From the library.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get it from the library, the library bought one copy. You know, the library bought 10 copies.
Yes.
If you can't buy it specifically, but the library at least bought copies.
Yes.
So you won't get the ads, you won't get the scramble. Do you remember scramble porn when a lot of guys used to do jokes about how they just watched the scramble in the hope to see a boob? Just a loose nipple wandering in a Picasso-like landscape.
You know what? That's actually how the last guy I hooked up with described just me in general, you know?
It was a Picasso-like landscape.
Yes, a Picasso-like landscape.
Well, let's find that guy. We're doing it. What are you reading now? Do you want to talk more libraries? You want to talk about
am I reading right now? I'm reading.
Here's the book. Here's book number two.
Aha. Yeah.
It's
called
The Unlikely Spy Catchers. It's the St. Brendan series by Carla Kelly. It looks like a romance novel, mostly because it is. But it's also actually a YA kind of, because this the sexy times isn't too sexy.
I'm going to grab I'm working on the second book from the Milwaukee airport. One second.
Oh, she's going to go get it. taking a quick break here, you guys. I'm talking with Anna Valenzuela.
Okay.
V-A-L-E-N-Z-U-E-L-A. It's Anna V is funny on all the things. Anna.
Yes. It'll be in the notes. Is called Dark Lover. Oh, it's so bad. And it's a novel from the Black Dagger Brotherhood, and it's by J.R. Ward. And it is
running for vice president?
I think it's a lady.
Sounds like it.
I think it's a lady. Because I had so much time in this airport used bookstore, which all airports should have a used bookstore. Why does only one have a used bookstore? There should be, it's basically like the take a book, leave a book, like the pocket library thing, which that's another thing. If you had the means to have one of them little library boxes in front of your house, God bless you. Because I've pulled several books out of those things. Well, I love it.
Maria does a joke about that. She's like, have you ever been Dan Browned? She's like, throw out your own trash. And she's like, that's the thing about having a little library in front of your house.
There is a lot of Dan Brown. This is about a lady who's unaware that she's part vampire. She's also, she's a journalist, not a cop. And she's about ready to get vampire basically sponsored by a real hot vampire who's going to protect her. And she's already been attacked and fought a man off. So,
and has she written about it? Is she published as a journalist?
I think so. I would hope
she... Was that the conceit to get her to go into the dark streets to find her? And then all of a sudden she finds out she's part vampire.
We're not there yet. We're getting there. It's been a busy month. But yeah, it's especially because I have the bad habit of I'm a read before bed reader. So the screens can shut off.
I can't read a vampire before bed. That's too much. Is it scary?
No. This vampire wishes to be in the Interview with the Vampire universe. This vampire, it's trying to be Anne Rice, but it's really Anne Rice-a-roni. You know what I mean? Like it's doing fine.
It fulfills its $3 destiny.
Yeah. If you wrote this book, I want to say J.R. Ward, thank you. Thank you for your service. You it's perfect for getting on a plane and or reading before I fall asleep.
It's an entertaining story. It's story time.
That's nice. Yeah.
It's nice to have a nice story. I do like, I was just reading something and there was the commitment to story that I really enjoyed. That just talked about the because I do read, you know, I've read the classics. I read beautifully written things. I even read some nonfiction. But I read a fair amount of quickly written, like to make a living in romance novels.
You have to write three a year. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And most of them have day jobs.
Yes.
So, so I think that it's, but it's important. I one of my albums, I think it was Staycation. But it was I had a joke about, and I refer to it as poorly written, and I'd regret that, because have I written a book? I have not.
No.
And I reread The Woman Who I Said Was Poorly Written. I have all of her books almost, and I've reread almost all of them. So why such a chump? Why am I doing that? I think
there is a tendency in literature to be a bit classist, where in the same way that like we assume that classical music is just better, but there's got to be some really bad classical music. You know what I mean? Like it has to exist.
I will say science fiction became literature in the last 30 years.
When they started putting on airs and calling themselves speculative fiction. I see you at what I see you. All right. Yeah. That is just a sci-fi novel. I got in a full-on argument in community college class over that. I was like, what makes that book any more fancy than this book over here? And he's like, Anna, it's speculative fiction.
It's a weird hill to die on.
And basically, that's what he was like, I'm going to need you to chill out. I was like, quoting anime. He's like, you need to relax.
Right. And I will say this, though, since Bridgerton became a hit.
Yeah.
Romance novels, they have genuinely changed the size of the books and the covers of the books.
Yeah, now they're the fancy size. The size is like 15. Size. Yes, the $15 trade, size.
Yeah, they're trade sizes as opposed to mass paperback sizes.
Don't give up your mass paperback sizes. You hear me? Size of a book. This is what I need.
That's what I need. And with romance novels, I often judge a book by its cover.
Yes.
So I'm just like, yeah, I want to watch those two make out in my head with some a weird story of how they didn't get along, but they really got along. They haven't seen each other in a million years. They just they see each other too much and they've just discovered whatever. And I mean, and then you look at my own romance and it could not have been more clinical. I am not a particularly a romantic person in real life. I am very much pragmatic. And but I do love romance novels.
I actually would love you to write a romance novel.
I have always wanted to write. You know what I want to write, though? I want to write the Galaxy Quest of romance novels, where it is both satire and fulfills exactly everything that is needed in a romance novel. You know how Galaxy Quest is a Star Trek novel?
Yes.
But is also a satire of Star Trek.
Yes. Or, John Scalzi won an award.
Yeah, Red Shirts.
Red Shirts. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
John Scalzi's been on the Dork Forest.
I know.
He talked about photography.
Well, if you're listening, sir, I want to tell you, Old Man's War got me through the pandemic. I burned through that series like it was my goddamn job.
Awesome.
And then I reread it. Because I was like, what? And I describe it to people. What if Orson Scott Card wasn't a creep? That's what I call the Old Man's War series.
That's neat.
Yeah.
I'm sure John Scalzi would love to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he read Orson Scott Card and then was like, now why would you say out loud what a freaking creep you are?
Yeah.
Because I was enjoying those books.
Exactly.
I read the Master series, the one about the magical realism with the alternate history. I'm losing my headphones.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. I have not read that one. My ex read that one. We had all the books in the house. It's the Master. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like.
It's okay. Everyone shouldn't read it anyway because it didn't end well.
I heard it's bad.
It fell apart in the end. First three were good. And I wouldn't give them a dime. If I ran into it. So.
I have a question. Does romance in a series struggle from the same landing the spaceship issues that or landing the dragon that sci-fi suffers from? Because I do find that it is hard to stick the landing at times.
Well, like all series, in my opinion, some of the books in the series are better than others.
Sure.
Lisa Kleppas is the one who I do that the tantric sex joke. That's the name of the author, Lisa Kleppas, K-L-E-Y.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And Lorraine Newman, she saw that bit and she was like, could you suggest I've never read a romance novel. And I was like, well, I'm not going to suggest Lisa Kleppas. That's an advanced romance novel. You want to start a romance novel, I'm going to suggest for you Stephanie Lauren's the Duke series, the Sinister series, CYNSTER.
Okay.
That's quite nice. But some of the books are better than other of the books.
Okay.
Or all of them are good and some of them are great. Like there is, and this isn't a romance novel except for that it's a space opera, right?
I'm in.
Like Star Wars.
You got me.
Lois McMaster Bujold wrote a space opera series. She's from Minnesota, and it's called the Vorkosigan series. Her sorcery fantasy stuff is pretty good, too. I haven't read enough of that, actually, and that's really what she's concentrated on now. But the Vorkosigan series is actually great. And the first two books are collected in something called Cordelia's Honor. Cordelia's Honor.
we're dealing with.
I would recommend you read it.
Okay.
And the Dragon Riders of Pern, I would do, I think the first one, it isn't called Dragon's Flight. It might be called Dragon's Flight.
I almost got that at the airport. Yeah. I swear. Okay.
Well, it's great.
Okay, okay. Cordelia's Honor, and then Dragon Riders.
I recommend the same three series every 10 episodes. So Rangers, and then Todd Mason likes to email me and go, you like this, so why don't you read? And then he sends me a list of a dozen series, and it's very sweet. And I occasionally read one of them, and I always enjoy them.
Rangers, hear me out. How many of you started book club? You guys have a digital book club going?
Oh, we tried to do a Goodreads. It didn't take. I think sometimes I think Rangers of the Dork Forest are a collection of loners. We're doing what we can. We're doing just fine. We're doing just fine.
Okay.
And then my favorite science fiction, time travel and immortality, things I usually don't enjoy.
I hate that.
This woman's books are the best.
Okay.
And her name is Cage Baker.
K-A-G-E. Cage Baker. Now,
Company series. Yes.
Okay. So Cage Baker, I've actually looked up in the LA Public Library system.
Gardens of Eden. Yes.
Struggled to find available books.
Right. This isn't fair because she should be a household name.
Yeah.
She's as good as... I don't know, Gibson. I mean, literally, whoa. I mean, she's Heinlein, you know?
Wow.
There's, you know, so is Bujold, quite honestly.
Okay.
If you reread Robert Heinlein or William Gibson,
yeah,
and you just go, well, these are fun, cool books.
Right.
These, so too will happen if you read Cage Baker and Lois McMaster Bujold.
I'm so excited. Every time I come to the Dork Forest to yell about things, and then I end up with book recommendations. It's great.
This episode has been about libraries, and then it weeded off into books, and I loved it.
Yay!
And I love you. You are great, Anna Valenzuela. Thank you so much for doing the Dork Forest.
Yay!
And Rangers. Don't forget, it's called Murder Puss. Anna V is funny, is mm-hmm. where she's all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?